can't hear.
Hello, everyone. Welcome again to Among the Realms. This is Diane, and we're here once again at the Trinity Metaphysical Center and at Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey.
Yep.
And Trinity Metaphysical Center is also the home of the Ecrypt Ghost Hunters. East Coast Research and Investigation Paranormal Team. So, sorry for the delay. We were having little technical difficulties with our computer here. And I hope everything is up and that you can hear me. So, to begin our show, what are we going to be talking about tonight? Oh, I should introduce everyone. I'm sorry. We have Jackie, of course, who is here. And manning our phones. Mercedes, yeah. And also
Charlie,
and
Mark.
Okay, so tonight, what are we going to be talking about?
So tonight, we're talking about psychic abilities and other phenomena. So we're actually going to talk about various abilities and all the different abilities that some of us use or are. Maybe one that's our favorite or one that we feel like we're better at. Also, what the interest is in psychic awareness, since that's now starting to grow a lot more than, especially in the last couple of years, even since I opened this door 4 years ago. And we're going to discuss how to use your abilities and how they can actually be a gift for you, so how they can be helpful. And then there's a lot of us that have stories of, you know, when we first noticed we had some type of ability or how we've grown them, or, you know, what we're able to do now and how they've actually changed our life.
And if anybody listening has a story to tell or any of their own abilities they'd like to share, the phone number here is 347-633-9648. So, okay. So, how do you know you have a psychic ability?
Well, most people realize they're just different. Or that they can talk to dead people. They know things ahead of time. You know, some people have even said that they knew that they could, like, actually move things when they were really little, like, you know, when they were small, like when they were playing with cars or blocks or things like that. When they got mad, they actually would make them move and things like that. But there's so many different abilities that we could discuss tonight, and I know that some of the ones that a lot of us use are clairvoyance, which is knowing what's, you know, coming for the future, what's going to happen. Mediumship, which is being able to speak with spirits or ghosts. People have crossed over. There's also astral travel, which we've had in a discussion on a few times, which is when you have out-of-body experiences. And we have psychometry, which we work on a lot each week, which is when you're able to get information off of objects or pictures. And then, you know, and then some of the little intricate things like being clairaudient, which means you can actually hear somebody talking to you, which is Charlie. And, you know, clairsentient, which means you can feel when something's around you or you get feelings. When you're empathic, you can kind of feel, you know, maybe what a spirit was feeling, whether it be, you know, how they passed away or if they feel anxious or, you know, that type of thing. There's so many abilities and different things, you know. Even telepathy, where we're able to kind of mentally, you know, get information, you know, passed between each other. So there's a lot of different things, and so many. And even the pendulum. The pendulum is different as well. It's another form of divination. So I know we each have our own little gift and how we use it, but I also know how it's changed our lives. And I know that everybody has, like, their own little story on how what it is either they feel like is their forte or what they feel like came easy to them. So, or maybe those who feel like there are some things that are a little bit more difficult for them to do and they're still working on it. And then that's the thing with your abilities is you don't put any expectations on yourself. You just let them come. And not everybody's going to be good with some things that some people are. So, and like we discussed earlier, it's really becoming more acceptable to people. Or at least, you know, 4 years ago, there were people that would look at the store, didn't even want to walk in, and now it's like, you can't keep people out of the store.
300 years ago, you know, we'd be burned at the stake.
Exactly. But now so many more people are they're at a higher vibration. You know, they're more spiritually evolved, and they're a little bit more open, because a lot of them have, you know, those odd things that have happened to them, and they can walk in here and get them explained, and they don't feel different. A lot of people do stuff, and they've been doing stuff for years, but they just didn't want to talk about it. So there are so many people
think it's a coincidence. They'll put it down to just coincidence.
Yep.
They're afraid to say anything because people make fun of them.
So they, how did you know that? I just knew.
So
what is your...
Well, I got a question for you. When you were going through all of those Claire or something or other, did you say Claire empathetic?
No, clairaudient. I only mentioned the clairaudient and the clairsentience and the clairvoyance.
Claire empathetic.
Empathic.
Empathic.
That's when you feel...
You feel what they're doing, as opposed to...
clairsentient is when you have those feelings too.
Clairsentient, okay. I'm just thinking, you know, I've probably been called clairpathetic pretty many times, but no, the idea here is that I didn't need to take over.
No, I asked you.
Oh, that's
what
right,
was
that's
the...
right. Yeah. Boy, this is good stuff. Anyway, well, it's legal to drink out of here. we're in a private
water and iced tea.
No, we were talking about all the different personal experiences and what we have, and we're talking about various abilities and
so phenomena. When did you first notice you had an ability
here? I mean, you always feel like it's sort of, well, maybe, oh gee, I think, and you know, you're not really sure, you know. How long have I been here? Coming here 2 years.
Yeah. A little more than 2 years,
yeah, now, sure.
Yeah.
And what we did was, we were taking the psychic development courses, and you did a guided meditation, took us to a scary, and you told me I probably talked to my mom that night. And up until that point, you know, I was sort of etchy. And you know what? At my age, you pretty much blow a lot of things off. You sit there and go, yeah, right, okay, that's the way it's going to be. And then we sat down and you walked us through the meditation, and guess what? My mom was standing there. And, you know, like you said, you know, ask them questions, talk to them, see, you know, try to get some answers. And I asked a couple of questions, and you know how you have a conversation in your mind?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you come up with the questions, you come up with the answers, you come up with the questions, you come up with the answers. You know how it's going to go, because it's
you're
all
answering.
In your mind. Well, you know, I was asking questions and I wasn't getting the answers that I thought were going to come out. And when I got to, when we came out of the meditation and everything, I was like, wow, you know, where'd those answers come from? And my mom answered the way she would have answered. It wasn't like something way out there. It was just, you know, different than what I was thinking.
Right.
And you said to me, well, you were talking to her then, because if you weren't controlling the words coming
right.
back to you, if it wasn't the answer you... And believe me, I was asking the question...
and that's not the answer I want.
Yeah, I was thinking the answer, and the answer that was coming back into my brain wasn't what I was thinking. And I sat there and was like, wow. You know, that was the first time.
You know, it's funny you're saying that, because that's one of the things I tell people all the time when they want to know why they're not getting their information or if they are. That's exactly what they do. They get answers. Their intuitive side is telling them something, and the answers they're getting are not the ones they want to hear. So they dismiss it right away because that's not what they want to hear. They want it to be what they want. And that's one of the biggest, most challenging issues for people to really, you know, kind of... to work through in that. So you saying that, like, that's just a typical
just this afternoon,
example.
I got a friend of mine that's taking a job in Florida, and he's on his way down to Virginia right now. I texted him about 6 o'clock to see if he was in Virginia at his parents' house yet. And he goes, no, I'm in Fredericksburg. So I text him back, and I said, when you get there, say hi for me. Okay, any answer can come back. Yes, okay, I'll do that, and I'll say hi for you, whatever. And I sat there and I put my phone down, and will do came to my head. And I picked my phone up and it buzzed, and I looked at the answer and it was will do. And I was like, yeah, I knew that. I got lucky. You know, no, I didn't get lucky. I knew what his answer was going to be, you know? And you sit there, you think about how you send your energy out or how you get your energy back. I told you about the time one of my friends where I work, her mom had passed away. So I drove from here all over 50 miles down in Bergen County to go to the funeral home. And I didn't realize until I walked up the steps that that was the same funeral home that my mother was in. So I walked up a few steps, walked in the front door, and all of a sudden it hit me. And all of a sudden, you know, I felt all the emotion. So I said, well, I'm just going to go up the stairs. I'm going to go in. I'm going to pay my respects, let them know I was after them, and then I'm going to leave. And basically, that's what I did. When I left, I got back to the car, and basically, I started crying. It was that upsetting. And my phone rang. And I answered my phone. And who was it but my best friend down in Virginia. This is another guy down in Virginia. And I said to him, I said, Bob, why are you calling me? Well, what's up? And I tried best to hide however I was feeling, because I was pretty much just sitting there crying. And he says, something just told me to call you. Mm-hmm. And I left the funeral home in the car with him on my Bluetooth so we could talk back and forth. I drove all the way home, it was about an hour and 10 minutes, and he talked to me the whole time. And normally we'll talk, guys talk 15, 20 minutes tops, and say, hey, how you doing? Yeah, you see the Yankees last night? And then, okay, I'll give you a call later on, bye. We talked for about an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And I got in the house, and Sandy said to me, so, how was it? How was it last tonight? I said, amazing. She goes, she went to a funeral parlor. It was amazing. I said, well, I forgot that's where my mom was. I said, and I came out and told her what happened. I said, but then Bob called me out of the blue. And it was just the fact that he felt like he knew me. And that was it. That was it. So I don't know. I'm sitting there, maybe it's coming from your microphone. The idea here is that, do you have the ability? Do you have the ability to send information? Do you have the ability to get information? I'm a firm believer right now. It's all because, coming to the shop and being in your presence and you teaching us and letting us actually, I don't think there's enough people that let themselves experience what
they don't give
have.
It a try.
They don't give it
there's
a try.
There's some people that they come in here like, just like people drag them in, like they're friends, and then they don't want to leave.
Once they get in, they like the atmosphere. The atmosphere is everything. You could go to any other shop, and some of the atmosphere is just terrible. I mean, just in the area here, you walk in, and it's like, you got to be kidding me,
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like going to work. You sit there and go, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
Whereas here, everything's open.
Fun.
Yeah. Well, you don't get criticized.
And Charlie's not saying one of his strong abilities now is hearing, which is a difficult one.
Yeah, it's kind
of
fun.
Very difficult.
Kind of fun. once all of a sudden, for some reason, it just clicks. And then all of a sudden, you start listening and you can do it.
Yep.
And I was talking to my uncle the other night. And,
it
was just amazing. You sit there and you're
just talking to his uncle.
Just saying hi. You, it's like, it's one of the best things going. And you know what? You sit there, and I know when I get to the other side, okay, he's probably going to sit there and say, did you really believe he was talking to me? And I'm going to sit there and say, why? Weren't you? And he's going to say, yeah, I was. And, the whole idea here is that it is what you believe.
It's neat when it's people who didn't think they believe in that stuff either when they were alive.
Yeah.
And now they're communicating. Yeah. Now, Diane does it different. Diane's... famous ability here is the pendulum.
I'm glad I discovered it. Or I'd be totally deaf, dumb, and blind around here.
So Diane does a lot of spirit communication with a pendulum.
But I was able to do some things when I was younger. Like I can send messages. And my boyfriend, I can't receive it that well. But my boyfriend used to, answer me before I even asked a question, and my best friend in high school would do the same thing. She would, one day I got mad at her, and I said, can't you at least wait until I ask the question? She goes, I thought you did. But she was always answering me before I could even talk. But when I was working in an office once, we had a rainstorm, and the school called up my coworker, and they were letting all the kids go. And she asked for permission to leave the office and pick up her kids because everything was flooding. And my supervisor said no, she couldn't go. But 5 minutes later, the supervisor decided, well, the rain was getting too bad. She was going to leave. So the lady behind me was stewing and all upset. And I just looked at her and I said, don't worry, she won't be able to leave town. I don't know why I said that. But the supervisor left. 20 minutes later, she comes back in tears. Every road leading out of town was flooded. She looks at me and she goes, how'd you do that?
Previous episode.
But, you know, I just knew. And I wasn't even thinking about saying it. I just said it. And
juju.
Yeah.
Diane made the rains come.
Summon them.
But I think the first time I realized I knew the truth about things was when Kennedy was assassinated. And, you know, I, like everybody else, I was glued to my television set. And when I saw Oswald get shot, I knew at that moment he was not the assassin. He might have been involved. He probably knew too much for his own good. But I knew instinctively that in a police station when they're moving a federal prisoner for a two-bit hood to walk in with a gun and get right up and shoot him point blank, that required somebody with a little bit more authority. And I just knew. And I can't tell you who the actual assassin was, but I know it wasn't Oswald. And I know that's why they could never let him talk to a lawyer, because he kept asking for a lawyer. He kept asking and asking and asking, and he was obviously beat up in jail. His face was all swollen and his eye was puffy. And he kept asking for a lawyer, and he never got one, because I couldn't let him talk.
Interesting.
So, but I remember that feeling when I was 11, and I felt like I'd been punched in the gut because I realized the truth. And I think the second time I got the same feeling was during 9/11.
Yeah, a lot of people got it during 9/11.
I was going up the stairs, and a maintenance guy was coming down the stairs, and he said, they just hit the Pentagon. And I was an air traffic controller in the military. I know the Pentagon is one of the best defended buildings in the country. I mean, probably the best defender. You go anywhere near it, or look like you're going anywhere near it, they're going to come after you. And I just looked at him, and I said, what do you mean they got to the Pentagon? And he said, yeah, a plane just flew into the Pentagon. And I got that same kicked in the gut feeling, because I knew the truth, that if the plane was able to hit the Pentagon, it was because the government allowed them to hit the Pentagon. And everything I've read since then just seems to point to that. But it was, I just had this feeling of horror. Like there was more beyond this than just some crazy Muslim terrorists who couldn't even fly the airplanes they supposedly flew. But it's one of the two times where I actually I just remember that feeling like being washed over with this. You know, and just feeling
just
sick.
Feeling like it wasn't right. What is it that you like to do, Mark? What's your favorite?
It's a grapefruit and tangerine right now. I'm still learning. I'm still a Padawan in this whole.
What is it, though, that you feel like you're more drawn to?
Well, I was always a smorgasbord of things. I used to get the most amazing premonition dreams. It was never about anything substantial. It was always about the most random, most asinine things, but the cool thing was, I mean, it was crystal clear. I remember being in high school one time and having a dream that a bunch of my friends and I, who had never even met these people in my entire life, were hitting each other in the back of this drab green room with newspapers. Fast forward a couple years, I'm in college, we're in the back of this drab green room, a bunch of my friends and I, we got newspapers, and we got bored and started having a newspaper fight. I mean, it's small things like that. I mean, it just... Like I said, it's nothing of me winning the lottery. You know, I remember having one It wasn't as on key, but remember the dream was my father being struck by lightning in the left arm. And then had a heart attack. Not shortly after that. With 9/11, I used to remember when I was younger, I was having dreams of looking up in Manhattan and seeing planes flying into the building.
Yeah, so many people said they had that
and
one.
I used to have the dreams of bodies falling from the sky. And the same thing. I would have the... I know, I was a messed up kid.
It's just you're one. There are people who get those kind.
Stuff.
They get more, not, I don't want to say more the negative, but they know what's coming in that way. Like, they just happen to tune into to that, you know, that type of information.
But now with the psychic development classes we've been doing on here, I'm kind of learning to tune into whatever else I can. It's interesting now when we do the ghost hunts, I get more words. I get more.
Exactly.
I get more ideas. And
so you can communicate with them more.
Well, that you're talking to me, but you're talking to me. The other cool thing is I get a lot of images and pictures and vivid stuff. Like when we were doing the one exercise the other day when I drew your cat.
Yeah.
Pretty much. That was cool. Now I'm waiting for you to talk to my bird. you are the animal whisperer now.
Yeah, I don't know why, but
animals, I don't have anything kind of.
I've heard animals talking and, like, you know, have them say stuff in my head.
Well, we were watching Animal Farm, that's why.
Who's watching animals?
No, I mean, I don't get one specific thing.
Well, sometimes we can do like a bunch of different things, but
just kind of.
You know, the way your work too, because I know you've actually come really far.
Oh, that
everybody here has.
The cat that you drew, I used to call him telepathically.
That was cool.
Because he liked to go down the street into this field, and I would just stand there in the middle of the road and just think, calling him. And all of a sudden I'd see his little doop-doop-doop-doop running out of the home.
Look, you getting a message? A message from beyond?
Dana's on the line, so she wants to tell us her little story, too. Dana's on the line.
Hi, Dana, you there?
I'm there. Hi, everybody.
Oh, I hear it.
We want to know when you first realized you had an ability, and which one is it that you like the most?
Well, I realized a long time ago I had abilities because I seemed to be sensitive to all kinds of things, but the problem was I had nowhere to take it. I didn't know anybody who was doing this kind of thing. So I just was sort of on my own for a long time, and consequently, I probably didn't develop it the way I could have if I'd have found a group. But boy, at that time, there were no groups, let me tell you. It was sort of like no man's land, and you didn't really talk about it too much, you know. I remember especially when I was in Mexico, that I went to Mexico several times and I had such an affinity for it, and it seemed like the most bizarrely magical place in the world where I had experiences I just could hardly explain. And, you know, I had visions, I had things that would happen to me, and I just didn't know how to deal with it. And that's why, actually, having discovered the Trinity group, you know, at this point in my life, it's just been kind of extraordinary because it's finally helped me move forward into all of this stuff, and it's like I found a home. You know,
you weren't taking any of those Indian the hallucination impulse, then I'm assuming.
Unfortunately, no. No. You know, whatever. I was a child of the 60s and 70s, but, you know, I wasn't too crazy. But I think that you sense it. You actually can sense it, and you know things when you don't know why you know them, but you do pick up on things, and it's just kind of remarkable, you know?
Other than my experiences of the traumatic kind, I've never had that happen to me. I've always wanted to. So.
Oh, God. I mean, I was in the pyramids in Chichen Itza and Uxmal, and just I would say, okay, I'm going to go sit in this place, and without even knowing where I was going, I would turn out I would be sitting in a particular temple that I knew. I just knew that it was, that's where I should be sitting. And it was like, I said, my goodness, how did I find this, you know? How did I find these areas? And it was just so wonderful, and I felt so empowered, but I didn't know what to do with it. And I think, you know, maybe a lot of people have found that, but they, you know, but fortunately now we are able to deal with some of these things because you're, like you said, more and more people are talking about this all the time. And it's I'm truly grateful that they are, you know what I mean? It's like, I wouldn't have, you know, it's like I found myself again because it all just rings true.
How old were you when you were in Mexico?
I was in my 20s, early 30s, late 20s, early 30s. And, you know, it's like I always thought I was like magic. I always considered myself a magic person. I don't know where that came up. My mother said I was an alien. You know how that goes, Diane.
Yes.
She says, you were dropped here from another planet. We don't know who you are. You know? I said, okay. You know, I said, that was good, you know. And but at the same time, it was like, I just sort of knew things without knowing why I knew them. And like you were talking about, it was just kind of wonderful.
I've tried to talk to people, you know, about the stuff that's happened to me, and they totally dismiss it. In fact, I was at a dinner party one night just telling people about stuff that has happened to me, and it's like, well, where's your proof? Mm-hmm. You know, we're not going to believe you unless you have proof. How can I have proof?
I know. They either believe you or they don't. You know, because they have to experience themselves.
So,
and again, those things you can't necessarily prove. I mean, it's like, and who's got to prove it anyway? You know when you know something. You know when it's there, and it's.
I just learned to say, I'm not listening to you. I'm right. You're wrong. That's too bad. I know what I know, and that's what I know.
That's the error.
Right. You know what you know. You know what you know, and it's like the same token as I always considered dream times. As real as an experience as any I've had in waking time. And that's why I always subscribe to the Aborigine Dreamtime experience, because those experiences are so real to me that I remember them, you know, as vividly as any experience so-called in waking time. And that's part of it also, because I think, you know, dreams are also connected to all of this stuff, you know, and I know it's sounding a little crazy here, but it's not really crazy at all. It is. It is what it is, you know.
That's why we're all here, because everybody thinks we're crazy, but we know we're not.
But we know we're not. We know we're connected, you know, and it's like, whatever, it's a marvelous place to be, and I'm kind of grateful that I'm there, you know. For number one, that I discovered you guys. No, that's a big McGill there, right there, you know. And because I don't know what I would have done, you know. It's helped me so much to expand my thinking and my, you know, way of approaching things. And it's all good.
Well,
anyway, that's what I have.
I said I still get made fun of at work, but that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah,
that's okay. What happens. I remember when I used to always say, like, even to my friends, I'd be like, oh, that's not going to be good, or, like, I know this is going to happen. They'd be like, no. Like, the first thing, it's not even like you even get any leeway in there, or that you could possibly be right. Be like, no. And it's funny, a year or two later, maybe it's only 2 months later, and it always happens. It's always, you always get that, like, kind of like what Diane was saying, like, that feeling. And I always tell people, it's a gut feeling. It feels like, but it's nagging. It's a nagging feeling. It's always going to be, like, constantly in your head until you pay attention to it and recognize it.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's exactly, I think all of us have had odd things happen, like, especially those of us who can kind of communicate with the spirits and things like that. I think a lot of us did it when we were younger, and we either closed it off or we touted it off to boogeymen or something like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then when you start to become more aware of it and you actually open up and let it kind of flow, then you're like, wow, this isn't anything you have to be afraid of, and wow, I didn't know I could do that, or wow, look at, now I can do this. That's exactly what it is, too. The more your relaxed energy and the more you're developing it, the more you're conditioning it, the more you start to be able to do, the more you get, like Mark was saying. You know, the more in tune you are to things.
Yeah.
You're sharpening your senses. So.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And now, especially now, for whatever reason, people, I don't know, it seems to be opening up. The awareness of this is opening up, and it's like you can talk about it now, and people don't just dismiss you. They say, "Oh," and then they want to hear about it, you know. And it's like, and they know you're not. They sense that there's something going on here, and they're interested. They want to be a part of it. They don't know how to do it themselves, but they you know, it's like they're ready. They're ready. There's so much going on right now. And, of course, I don't know why all these TV shows are on, but that's because more and more people are saying there's too much going on that we know is true, and these things have happened. And, you know in your heart and mind and soul, you know a truth. You know what you've seen. You know what you've felt. You know. You just know. And no matter what people say that you can't prove it, well, but I knew it. I saw this beforehand. I heard this in my mind. I saw this. I saw this happen. And it's like, it's an absolute. You know, to me, it's an absolute.
Dana, how do you think your abilities have helped you?
Oh, my goodness. They've made me more confident. They've made me more aware. They've made me a gentler, kinder soul in a way. I just seem more aware of an energy in this world and with among the people and connecting to people and it's helped me to connect with people in better ways too. Because you can sense when they're, you know, you can sense like-minded spirits and people who are good for you, and you can tell when people are bad for you, and so you sort of learn to steer away from that. If you can't help them, you know, you try to help them, but you can, you know, if you can't help them, then you
don't
steer away.
I said I don't try.
Oh, well, that's you. Yeah. Well, we know about you, Diane. But I find that I've met people that I never would have met because I can tell that this is a good thing for me to do, or, you know, or I stay away from people. I said, I can tell right now this is not where I should be going. And I think it's helped me in that way, you know.
I think it's helped me, you know, avoid negative people. That would be detrimental to my life.
Exactly. Even when they seem really, really nice
on the outside, you know the truth. It's like you can see what they are on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's helped in that way. And also it's given me confidence to, when people, you know, they don't believe what I'm telling them or whatever, to just say, well, that's too bad, you know.
Yeah,
so,
I mean, it doesn't matter to me whether you believe
me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Anyway, thank you guys for everything, you know, that I have learned through you, and it's like, it's an amazing experience. What can I say?
Well, we wish you were here tonight, Dana. We got beer on the line, though, so.
Oh, okay, good. Well, I can't wait to see what you do. Cool. Well, I'm going to say goodbye, and, you know, I will listen here to whatever's next.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Hello.
Hey, Barry, are you there?
Hey. Yep, I'm here. How are
you? Okay.
Doing all right. I'm calling in because somebody thinks I'm psychic. I don't know.
You are.
I was like, I'm psychic? Well, I get, you know, it's, I don't think I ever told anybody, but, you know, my grandmother used to see spirits, and my mother would hear spirits talking. But my father and I, we never heard or saw anything, so we were just, like, kept to ourselves. But as I got older and, you know, I was into that positive thinking thing and Louise L. Hay and her books and stuff and opened myself up that way. But I never considered myself psychic, but I guess through studying and meeting with you guys, you know, like the shocking thing, like when we did some mediumship and we were with your, I was with your, paired up with your friend, Diane, and you're supposed to think of somebody that was related to them that had passed, and all I could think of was the word Marge, and all I was saying, oh my goodness, it's like The Simpsons. Why am I thinking of The Simpsons? And then it turned out she had an Aunt Marge that had just passed. But, you know, that's the kind of psychic stuff I get. And the reason I like it is because it helps me do the things that I'm trying to learn to do, which is like the Reiki and, you know, other things that have to do with healing. I think when you become psychically sensitive, then you're able to figure out what's wrong with people and how you can help them. So that's how I think the limited psychic abilities that I have, how I use them, you know, and what I like about
that. I would love to be able to do that.
What, heal?
Yeah.
So, everybody can do it.
Well,
you know?
You'd have to be able to tell what's wrong with people for
well,
help.
And you know what, though? It's you probably could do it. I didn't think I could do it until I started doing the stuff that I was taught, you know, by my Reiki master. And then, you know, you ask for verification from your client, and they'll say, yeah, I fell down, and I have a black and blue there. Or, you know, it's kind of amazing, and then you get to trust yourself a little bit more. And then after a while, you know, once you realize it's not really, that something's working through you, like I tried to explain this to somebody, that it's, there's the energy and it works through you. Like you can't be egocentric and think you're healing people. It's just that you're able to take the energy and take what is there and like channel it into somebody. That's really what it is, and you're perfectly capable of doing that, Diane, if you felt like it, if you wanted to get, you know, interested.
I don't even know how to start. I wouldn't even know.
Well, you already have started, Diane.
No, I mean, you, as far as the healing goes, I wouldn't even know what to do.
So far you're a catcher. Now you have to learn to be a pitcher, you know, right? Right? You go for your energy healings and, you know, look into energy work and look into Reiki or look into anything.
You know,
like
even
that.
If I didn't think my energy healing worked, everybody I work with can tell when I haven't had it.
Right. So,
man,
you know it works.
You
know there's
today.
Something going on. Yeah, that's how I think whatever psychic abilities I have, that's how I use them, and I want to use them and want to get better at them, and that's part of why our Tuesday night.
Are you
nights.
Pretty good at astral projection, too?
I am, but I was doing that, you know. I know I've told that story about how I used to do it when I was younger, but I'm not sure I've ever told anybody that part of the reason that I used to do it was because in the beginning when Dave and I were married, we were poor. I mean, we didn't have money. And I used to look forward to going and being alone so that I could do stuff like that, because to me, it was a release. It was like a, and I said that, like a mini vacation kind of thing. And that was one of the reasons I started doing it and probably why I got good at it, because I enjoyed it and I wanted to go and, you know, do these things and look at places. And, you know, I almost in my mind thought maybe I was making it up, but apparently after I've been working with Jackie, I guess I'm not making it up because, you know, I've been able to verify it with other things. But that's how it all started.
Yeah, but you can talk to spirits a lot now, too.
Well, I do, yeah. Yeah, and they talk back, yes. And it's kind of interesting.
So does Dave.
What?
Dave talks to dead people all the time.
Oh, well, Dave, no, I think they talk to him. That's the scary part. He's always like, you know, that guy that kept going, "Hear me?" You know, in his ear. And it's,
he's, I got something.
Well, the thing that I like about Dave is he wasn't like this at all, you know. He's a, you know, he was in law enforcement. It was just, he had good intuition because I think all people in law enforcement develop that. And he listens to his intuition because of that. But, you know, it's only by going to our little psychic development things that he's been able to really figure out that, that it's not just intuition, that he has some innate abilities. But I think his mom did too. And, you know, she lived with us for a while, and she was, you know, she would go places and know she'd been there before. You know, she had a real... a very spiritual side to her. So I'm sure he gets it, you know, from her, from her side of the family. He just never developed it. So thanks to our psychic development, he's had an opportunity to do that. So, you know, you provide the opportunity for people, and hopefully they grow. And it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling driving there and never knowing what's going to happen. That's, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's, that's, that, Dave and I are like, ooh, I wonder what's going to happen tonight. You know, and that's,
well,
that's.
You missed the class last night.
Oh, I heard a little bit about it. I'm sorry I missed it. I don't know.
Oh, man, we were in the room, and the back room was hopping. Meter was just pegging in red.
I know.
And we were all getting the seat. We all decided to do.
Yeah, we all had
pendulum. We all were getting the same information. It was awesome.
Yeah.
We
talked to a resident here, Native American.
Well, you had seen that person before, or that entity before.
Yeah.
You know,
but,
I think we
really talked, had a good talk.
Yeah, and I heard you had some interesting words about a bathroom, but anyway.
Oh, that
is. Yeah.
We won't go into that here.
That'll be next week's episode when we share some of our ETs, and we're going to share, like, what happened, you know, how our experience was at the expo and all that stuff next week.
That should be good. Is that Ron's not there tonight, right?
No.
He's the EVP king, so.
Yeah. We'll make sure he's here next week.
He better be.
Yeah.
If he's not, I mean, he's the one that gets everything, so.
So Mercedes has a story to tell, too. You going to stay on the line, Vera?
Yep, I'll stay on the line.
Okay, great. Okay, Mercedes. Mercedes lives in a haunted apartment, so gets lots of stuff.
I do. I have lots of people there.
But, so when did you first realize you had something?
Well, I've known for a long time, but my mom noticed it with me first, and she tells the story pretty frequently. I should have to tell her to call into me, but I guess I was about 2 or 3 years old, and she was getting her license renewed at the DMV, and we were on our way home, and she had gotten a new license picture that day, and out of nowhere, I'm 2 or 3 years old, mind you, out of nowhere in the back seat of the car, she looks at me in the rear view mirror, and I go, "Mommy, don't worry about your picture. You look beautiful." And I hadn't seen it, and she, like, just kind of looked in the mirror, and she was like, "What? What?" And she'll tell you. She's like, "That's what I was thinking that moment that you asked me, and you were so little. How were you supposed to know, like, what was happening?" And then I used to astral travel when I was little, too, frequently. Mm-hmm. I clearly remember these times I would be in school, and I don't know, maybe I just spaced out or something. I mean, like, preschool and kindergarten, and I can't do it now because I'm so conscious of it.
Did you do the lucid dreaming, too? I know my son always says he does that.
No, just astral travel. I guess the strongest thing with me is mediumship, and I am very aware of... Very aware of energies and people around me. And for a long time, like, I remember clearly when I was little, things like flying off my shelves out of nowhere in the house, like, you know, stuff like that. And I knew it it wasn't something just falling. I knew there was someone there and I could feel it. Now I'm a lot more,
now you're a lot more aware of it.
Now I'm a lot more conscious of it, and I can tell, you know, what gender a spirit is, and I can get a little bit of information, you know, if I focus.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known for a long time. It's just coming to development helps a lot because obviously I'm developing my skills, but I'm a lot more aware now than I was. But
yeah, and then you start to realize the, you know, certain skills or certain abilities that you thought were like your favorite, and all of a sudden you're able to do something else a little more, and then you're like, ooh, mm-hmm. I kind of like this a little more. I know I always like the clairvoyance because I'm strong with what's coming, but I know that it's a tie between that and the mediumship.
Yeah, I think for me too.
I like talking to the other side.
Because I've actually been coming to the store for 4 years, and I just started taking development in the fall or the winter. But when I started, I decided to come here and get my angel cards read, and I sat down, I think it was with Monica. I sat down with her, and she had done my reading, and we still had a little time left, and I looked at her, and I was like, listen, I've been going throughout my day and having these feelings of deja vu, but I know that I've seen the things that have happened to me before. And she's like, well, that's because you're having prophetic dreams. Like, that's mm-hmm. what you're doing. And I yep. still do it frequently. And I do, I mean, you guys
yeah,
have seen it.
Yeah, so a lot of people do.
I do it in class sometimes. I'll be in a meditation and have a vision about somebody in our class. Mm-hmm. So I think it's probably a tie between the mediumship and the clairvoyance.
Yeah, I think that's what a lot of people, but we use the mediumship when we're, you know, doing our paranormal investigating. And I think that, like, for us, we're not just using it for one thing or just in our classes and stuff like that. Like, I tell people use it all the time, you know, and if you want to connect in with somebody, connect in. But because we do so many investigations and we do so much with the paranormal, we're constantly using that side, which is great because when you're developing the other stuff, that's just making that stronger, you know, and you end up using all of it because it's like almost like you're getting told, okay, there's something over here. I know there's something over here, and I know they're going to be from this and this and this. And then they're actually telling you that. Mm-hmm. So you end up using, you know, more than one. And I know there's some people that get frustrated because some people are really good at one thing and other people, you know, have a harder time, you know, getting it. But it will come. It's just everybody works at their own pace. Yeah, but it's neat when you do because even if we... If we are on an investigation, obviously it's a little bit easier because we can verify it. But last night we did do something different in development, and we did pull out our recorders, and we chose to do the mediumship with pendulums and recorders and equipment. And it was probably one of the best classes we've ever had. Everybody in that circle had a pendulum, even ones who weren't so familiar with working with them. And they were getting new people who was their first class. We're getting the same information as people who were like Diane, who was seasoned, you know? And then we were using the K2 meter, and it was, you know, as we were getting our answers as well, and also the voice recorder. So it's, you know, it was neat. We got a lot last night. I can't wait to listen back. But we were using all of our skills in one thing, basically. We were
I think when I first started using the pendulum, I wasn't exactly confident in the answers I was getting, but after using it and coming here and stuff like that, now whatever I get, and I don't question it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but sometimes it's verified right on something too.
Yeah. Well, like that one time I was with you in that room, and I was getting, my pendulum was telling me there was a woman there, and you said you were getting a man, mm-hmm. and it turned out there were both.
Yep.
But I immediately thought, oh, I must be wrong if Jackie's getting something else, you know?
But you know, it was funny. Last night, there were people getting two different things a couple times, and it's because one of the things you have to remember, and, you know, we have more than one spirit we were working with, and we kept saying, we just were doing a general question instead of specifically saying this a spirit's name. So we were getting, some people were picking up one, and some people were picking up the other, because the minute we said the name, everybody got the same answer, and that's what was neat. So we were, like, fine-tuning that, but it's neat when you're using your abilities, what you can use it for, because whether it's like Charlie, who's able to communicate with somebody, you know, he lost that he loved, or somebody's able to find their keys, or somebody's able to help give somebody some type of, you know, I want to say a peace for what's coming. You know, maybe they're worried about something and somebody's really feeling strongly it's going to be fine, it's going to be okay. And I truly feel they are gifts. I mean, if you learn how to use them and develop them and use them for a good intention, then they're always going to be, you know, helpful to you. And, you know, they're a special gift. You know, and when you're developing them, if you're somebody who's meant to have them, you know, develop them that well and use them to help people, which we all do, even when we're ghost hunting, then there's a reason. Diane will be the next pet whisperer.
Yes. How do you talk about all of these different gifts and how they relate to prayer?
I think it's the same. You know, I don't, you know what, we went down that road with the Bible because we know Jesus was, you know, he had a lot of ability. He was a healer. He saw what was coming, you know, and, you know, I absolutely feel that there are those of us who we feel our gifts did come from the divine, for divine good and divine reason, and I think they choose certain people to,
well, that's because,
you know,
it's all
for that.
Tied in to the what some people term God.
Mm-hmm.
It's not separate. It's part of it.
Yeah, and it's like
and when you connect with it, you're connecting, which is what prayer does.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. It's a different form
it's
of community.
Energy.
It's a concentration of energy.
Yep.
And that's why prayer works no matter what religion you're in.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because it's you're sending something out, and, you know, and no difference than when you want to communicate with somebody. You're sending out that signal, I want to, you know,
but,
speak
but
to.
But all prayer is an attempt to connect to the energy of the universe, whatever
mm-hmm.
you want to call it, whatever name you call it by.
Yep.
Because we're all connected to it. And we're just a little microcosm of that energy. But when you need help, you just reach out and you become part of the energy of the universe. That's what I call it.
Going back to the pet thing real quick.
What?
Yeah. How many people have pets, which I have one, that you know sees when there is a spirit there?
Oh. Mm-hmm.
We have a cat.
Every dog I know.
No. It's funny because pets are very sensitive to that. So a lot of times when you do have something in your house or you're in a house where they have animals, you know when your pet knows something's there. They also know when it's something uncomfortable or not for the greater good. I'll put it to you that way.
Well, my brother's dog is still upstairs and he chases the cat around.
But he's gone, right?
The dog died several
years
ago.
Does your cat know when he's there, though?
Well, yeah, she runs from him. But it's funny because you can hear the dog and the cat. They live above me. And I can hear the dog's claws on the floor and the cat running in front. But dump, 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 and the claws coming behind it. And they just race around the house. And, yeah, even my brother works at night, and when he would go to work, the dog used to go into his room and sleep on the bed. And for a long time, after he left for work, I could hear the dog walking
aww.
Into his room and jumping on the bed.
My cat just stares. He just goes, he just looks, and you can see him following something. and he's a smart cat, but I'm always like, yeah, I know it's there. I'm like, stop looking at it, because it's not going away. And especially when, like, you're trying to go to sleep and you know, like, it's right. And it's funny, because when he'll actually even, like, get into that little, like, where he feels secure when he's watching. Like I'm going to protect him. But I know, you know, my animals, my dog used to do that in my old house, too. He used to just stare into the corner, and he'd just follow wherever it was, follow it back. So I think your dog did that, right?
Yeah, well, she watched something walk right behind me and then to the kitchen, and she craned her neck to look around the doorway. And when I called her by name, she looked at me like, yeah. And then she laid down, and about 30 seconds, a minute later, craned her neck to look back in the kitchen, and this thing came back into the room, and she followed it right past, walking behind me and into the other room, and she craned her neck in to look in the other room, and that was before I was coming here, and I turned the TV off and ran upstairs. Scared the hell out of me.
My cats, I have to say, haven't noticed anything, either that or they're totally oblivious to it now.
Yeah, you're used to it.
Yeah.
Do you have animals?
Not anymore.
Well, did your bird notice anything?
No. You just happened to came back there, though.
See, if you had a cat in there, you'd know the bird. What about you?
Oh, yeah, my cat. Well, I don't know about this one now. He's still young, so I don't know. And I don't think we have too much stuff in Delaware. But our old cat, Chance, he saw everything. He was so aware. And he was like part Maine Coon cat, which I think...
Oh, they're so smart.
And they're supposed to be kind of psychic, too, I think, those cats.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the cat I used to
with
call telepathically. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was very aware, and you knew. I mean, you just knew.
Well, we have one in here.
I know.
We have a dead cat in here.
A spirit
of a dead cat? It's not like... We don't keep dead animals around here.
Do you want to throw out some Pam essential oils before we close up?
Oh, sure. So we'll be back in a minute or two, and we'll let you listen to Pam's essential oils.
Hi, this is Pam from Tell Them Pam Sent You, here to talk to you about Young Living essential oils. Are you using essential oils in your spiritual and healing practice? Are you using them for wellness and meditation? I know I am. Essential oils raise your vibration and can enhance your psychic experience. There's an undeniable movement going on right now, an awakening. And people are finding out what essential oils are and what they can do when they're used in their purest form. Their healing properties are undeniable. Young Living essential oils are among the top 4% in the world, never cut with synthetics or additives. They're planted, harvested, distilled, and bottled by the same company. That's the Young Living seed-to-seal process. Current labeling policy for essential oils requires that for a bottle to say 100% pure, get ready for this, it only has to contain 5% essential oil. Can you ingest your lavender or frankincense? Take a look at your bottles. If they say do not ingest, not for human consumption, do not ingest, and don't put it on your skin. Use Young Living therapeutic grade essential oils. They truly are 100% pure, free of chemicals, pesticides, and heavy metals. You deserve the best. Your clients deserve purity, not oils cut with fragrance. What's in your wellness kit? Can you apply your peppermint and your lavender now freely, knowing the difference? Please contact me for more information. Pam Jordan at VibrantSense.com. That's VibrantSense.com. And look me up on Facebook. Look for Tell Them Pam Sent You.
And we're back. And for anyone who's interested in Pam's essential oils, they can be obtained here at the Trinity Metaphysical Center, which is located once again at the Hardeston Plaza North on Route 23 in Hamburg, New Jersey. Phone number here is also 973-209-7070. For anyone interested in psychic development or if you want to contact the Eclipse Ghost Hunters. And
we will be at the New Jersey Power Unity Expo this weekend, Saturday, May 31st from 10 to 6. Our paranormal group, Ecrypt, will be there, as well as Trinity Metaphysical.
And I think they want to do a ghost tour.
Yeah, we're going to do two ghost tours, or two ghost hunts, I should say. And there's going to be a lot of other vendors there. You can visit their website, the New Jersey ParaUnityExpo.com, and they'll have all the vendors. I think there's like 20-something paranormal groups. New Jersey Zombie Walk is there, Brian Cano from The Haunted Collector.
I heard they had to print more tickets.
It's going to be good.
It's
going to be huge. Yes, and there's lots of lectures. There's four floors.
Right.
Of, you know.
Dave Giuliano's doing two lectures.
Yep. Yeah, there's some good lectures, too.
Yeah.
So it should be fun.
Jane Doherty is going to be there.
Yep.
Jane.
She is, Jane is a psychic and a medium.
Yep. Yes, and a friend of the store. Yep. So we're going to have a good time that day. So definitely come visit us. Tickets can be purchased online or the day of the expo, right at the expo. They're only $10. And it is at the Art Factory, Haunted Art Factory, in Paterson, New Jersey. And I know there's groups and vendors coming from all over. So all over the country. So it should be
great. Yeah, I hope somebody's selling pendulums.
Yeah, us.
All right. I already got pendulums from you.
You got lots of pendulums.
I know. I have a collection of pendulums.
And so next week we'll be able to tell you our experiences at the expo and our experiences through the haunted tunnels and, you know, a few of our most recent investigations. So it'll be in a crypt show next week.
Ghost galore.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what we're going to call it. Crypt ghost galore.
Okay, everyone. So until next week, this is Diane saying good night.
Jackie.
Mercedes.
Charlie. And Mark.
And, well, I guess, dear Vera and Dana.
Vera and Dana. Fear and Dana bailed already.
Okay, so good night, everyone.
Good night.
Bye.